As I've oftentimes said, one of the greatest attributes of God that I have come to appreciate in my own personal spiritual life is that God is a God of revelation, revealing Himself to us, letting us know that He exists, and not only that He exists, but He exists in our own personal lives, that He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one of us. And one of the ways God does that is through what's called wonders. We've been talking about signs, miracles, and wonders as we come off of Christmas season and all that took place at Christmas time, at the first Christmas when Christ was born. There were signs in the heavens. The wise men followed the star, came to see the miracle that Jesus Himself, the Lord God in flesh, was born. A miracle that a virgin would have a child. A miracle that God would fulfill His promises in the Old Testament to provide a Messiah and a great king whose kingdom would have no end. Nothing gives testimony and witness and validation to the power and presence of God like signs and miracles and wonders. Signs, miracles, and wonders are proof that God exists and that He exists in a way beyond what we can explain, and sometimes beyond what we can understand, hopefully turning us to God's Word that we might better understand what's going on and better understand Him. In the signs, we see things like the wise men coming to Bethlehem, coming to Jerusalem to find out where Jesus was born, this new king of the Jews. And we talked about how signs in our lives are things that God sends into our life as an invitation card, an RSVP card, asking us to RSVP and respond to Him in a special way. Those signs are all around us. Sometimes they're common to each one of us. Sometimes they're as much different as you and I are as human beings. But God's signs are there, calling us to RSVP to respond to God. When we respond to God in a positive way and open our hearts and our minds to the Lord, we start to see miracles in life happening. Miracles are a manifestation of the supernatural working in unexplainable circumstances and events or happenings in life. Things happen and we just can't explain them. There is no explanation why the tumor's there no more. There is no explanation why certain things happen. They're just explanations beyond a human reasoning. And the third thing is the wonders. Wonders are those things that invoke a reflection in order to help us come to the conclusion that God is or has really been working. Because what we see presently brings sense to something that happened earlier in our lives. I'm going to rephrase that a little bit so we understand that wonders are those things that happen in our lives that invoke us to stop for a moment to reflect on something that has happened before. And as we start to reflect on it, we start to reason, now I understand why that happened. Now I can start to see what God's saying because we stop to reflect on it. And we start to see that God was then speaking to us, calling to us, because now it makes sense. You see, the wonders, as we respond to God, help us to make sense of all these things that are going on in our lives. This is what was seen and still becomes evident to many today in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was a man of miracle signs and wonders, the Bible tells us. Webster's Dictionary describes a wonder as a person, thing, or event causing astonishment or admiration. Many of us have heard of the seven wonders of the world, however many there are now. They were great things that caused astonishment or admiration. Admiration for the builders, the constructors of those things. But what was so unique in the person of Jesus is that the things and the events that caused astonishment or admiration in Jesus were of God. Not of a human being. They were of God. And that became evident and gives us reason to claim that Jesus is God in the flesh. It's a hard thing to wrap our minds around. But when we start to understand how these miracles, signs, and wonders worked, presenting the fact to humanity that this was God there in the flesh, and now who dwells inside us. In the text of Hebrews chapter 2, we do not know the writer of Hebrews, but the writer gives us the theme of the superiority of Christ and Christianity. I'm going to say that again. The theme of Hebrews is the superiority of Christ and Christianity. Christ is superior in his presence, in his person, and in his priesthood. And the salvation that Jesus provides is superior to anything offered by any other religion or following. It's in the signs and the miracles and wonders, folks, that our faith in Christ and our trust in Christ becomes solid. And we claim Christianity as our faith because it is real, it is evident, and it proves itself. This becomes a reality for believers then and now because our faith is based on the proof of wonders. In the text, the writer says we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. First of all, what the writer is saying is it's important to pay attention and discern. This is important in our lives today because we're hearing all kinds of things. We live in an age of enlightenment, if you want to put it that way, where everybody's got a philosophy, everybody's a theologian, and everybody picks and chooses a la carte what faith is best for them based on their reasoning. The writer here is saying it's important to pay attention and discern, and we need to pay more careful attention because there's a danger of drifting away. And this has not only happened in our society today, it was taking place then, it was taking places in the churches then, it's taking places in the churches today. Christians come up to me and say, well, what I have found best for my life is to take a little from this religion and a little from this and a little from this, the best of all those, and put them together. That's what works for me. I say, that's not Christianity, and you're not a true follower of Jesus, because Jesus would tell you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's a way that seems right to a man, the Bible tells us, but the way thereof leads to death. The writer goes on to say, if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment, how are we going to escape if we ignore this great salvation? Now, to understand this, you have to understand a little bit of the beliefs of the Jews of that day. The Jews of that day believed in their culture that the angels of God were the ones that were there with Moses on Mount Sinai and spoke to Moses the laws of God. If we look at Acts chapter 7, we start to see some foundation for this thinking. That he was in the assembly in the desert with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, and he received living words to pass on to us. Speaking to the people in Acts chapter 7, he says, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers, you always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you've betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels. Speaking to the Jews, he says, but you've not obeyed it. So there was this understanding that it was the angels who deliver these messages of God to the people. And what the writer here is saying is if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how are we going to escape if we escape the salvation that Jesus offers? First of all, he's saying that the message is binding. The message of the gospel, the good news of God's presence in our lives in Jesus, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The message is binding. What that is, it's like signing a contract. When we agree to it and come to believe and receive Jesus as our Savior, we enter into a contract with God. And that contract is binding, meaning if we break it, we are in danger of the wrath of God. Secondly, the writer says that we can't ignore the salvation that God provides. In some cases today, that's the path many have chosen. like the little child that's as scared in the dark when they're in their bed and they close their eyes and say, if I can't see the monsters, they can't see me. Many people have adopted that kind of philosophy that if I just ignore Jesus, ignore God, ignore church, ignore the Bible, then it doesn't exist. Well, we know that doesn't work. Thirdly, the writer says the salvation was taught by Jesus, offered through Jesus, confirmed by those who believed by signs, wonders, and miracles and gifts. And what the writer is saying, if we ignore this, how are we going to escape? There is no escape, the writer goes on to say. And it says this salvation was first announced by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard the Lord. And God also testified to what they heard along with those people by signs, wonders, and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, a wonder in the Greek language is an omen. A wonder is an omen. The word is teras. It's a thing or it's a happening that's supposed to foretell a future event. It's something that's supposed to foretell a future event. Remember back in Acts chapter 2, when Peter was speaking, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and he addressed the crowd and he spoke about what was going on to those who were claiming that the people speaking in tongues, the signs before them, the people were saying, no, these people are drunk. Peter stood up and said, they're not drunk. This is what's taking place. In the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit and they'll prophesy. And I'll show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. So see, what Peter was saying is this thing, these wonders that were happening, were things that were foretold to happen in the future before that coming of the day of the Lord. And that's what he was saying. God said that this was going to take place, that he would have present signs and miracles and wonders before the great and glorious day of the Lord. And Peter was saying that's what's taking place. This is an omen. So he says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. How are we going to escape such a great salvation? Call on the name of the Lord. Not go to the bookstore. Not consult some of the modern day New Age philosophies and teachings. To seek our inner self and find our inner self. You see, folks, God sent and He sends signs. He worked and He works miracles and He performed and He performs wonders so that we can know the true identity of Emmanuel, Jesus, the one who brings salvation, peace, and wholeness into our lives. In all these, God makes Himself known. He makes His Word true and He waits for us to respond. God is so present in our lives. He is so present. Our lives are so saturated with Almighty God around us that there is going to be no excuse when we stand before the Lord. Romans tells us that. That God has revealed Himself in so many ways to us that no one will have an excuse on that day. When we talk about wonders, remember the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4? He spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. She went back into the village and she said, I met a man who told me everything about my life. Jesus had never met her before and he told her everything about her life. Remember how after Jesus rose from the dead, the men were fishing and they came in their boat and Jesus was on the shore and he called out to them. And he said, haven't you caught any fish? And they said, no, we've been fishing all night. He said, cast your net on the other side. And they did, and the nets were full. Remember how Jesus told the disciples that the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem, be handed over to death, and rise on the third day? That was a wonder because what happened? Exactly that. And as it happened, it says even on the day that he rose and they went to the tomb, they still didn't really understand what was going on. But afterwards they did. Remember when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus? He came along beside the disciples that were walking on their way to Emmaus. And he joined with them. And he asked them why they were so downcast. And they told him about what had happened to their Jesus. So Jesus walked along and he opened up the scriptures to them. And they got to where they were going. They invited him in. He went in. He broke bread and immediately they recognized who he was. Remember how God spoke through the prophets that the Messiah would come. And it did happen. Remember how God warned his people over and over about what would happen when they turned away from him. And it did happen, then they were destroyed by the enemy. Remember how Jesus told the disciples, "I'll ask my Father and he'll send another advocate." And it did happen. These are wonders, things that foretell the future, things that happen in our lives that warn us or direct us for the future in our lives, that when we get to a certain place, we understand, oh, now I know. Now I know. Compared with prophecy, in a way, wonders are connected with prophecy because prophecy foretells, and the wonder is the unfolding of it before our eyes so that we might see the face and glory of God in our lives. God speaks to us through Jesus, who is wonderful, full of wonders, to tell us the things that only God knows, the things that only God sees, the things that only God can do. And he still does today, folks. He still does today. Wonders are not deja vu. They're not a coincidence. Wonders point us to God, to bring us to the reality that here he is, right with us in our lives. Have you ever read something? And maybe it went on for a while, and all of a sudden something happened in your life and you remember, oh my gosh, I remember reading about that. Or maybe something happened and later on you're reading something and you say, oh my gosh, that's just the way it happened in my life. You start to understand it a little better, don't you? Or maybe someone says something to you and you kind of brush it off a little bit. You go on down the road in your life a little bit and then something happens and you say, oh my gosh, I remember they told me something about that. You see, God's working in our lives in a lot of different ways. Sometimes it's through dreams. As Paul used his own personal experience, let me take the liberty of sharing one with you folks this morning. Several years ago, before I was in pastoral ministry, one of the men in my church that I had become good friends with spent a lot of time every day in prayer. And one day he came up to me and he said to me, you know, he said, the Lord revealed to me in my prayer time that you're going to be in pastoral ministry. Well, you can imagine I laughed at that, like Sarah did when she was told she was going to have a child. And I kind of chuckled about it. And this went on for several weeks. And he kept coming back to me and kept saying, I'm telling you, the Lord keeps telling me you're going to be in pastoral ministry. So finally one day I said to the man, why isn't God telling me that? If that's the case, why isn't God telling me that? And of course I would pray about it in my own prayer time and ask God, if that's true, to reveal it to me so that I might know and I might follow that path that God's laid out before me. And lo and behold, the dreams started opening up. Things started happening in my life. People started saying things that were so unusual but stood out as nothing else could. And in the dreams, I saw things and I heard things, and God spoke to me in these dreams, guiding and directing me. And as those dreams kept happening and reoccurring, things in my life started happening and reoccurring to reaffirm the dreams. To reaffirm the dreams. It's been a wonderful part of my spiritual journey. But it was the wonders of God as they unfolded in my life to reassure me that what was already told is true, that God is really working. And as things unfolded, doors were opened, and God made a way in my life for this. Just a few years ago, when I was serving in another church, the one young lady in the church came up to me and she said to me that she was praying, and God told her that my next appointment was going to be harder than anything that I've ever experienced in my life. So we talked about that a little bit. I began to have dreams as I pondered that about a valley of horses. And as I woke up from the dream, I could just remember a valley of horses, a valley of horses, a valley of horses. And I didn't know what it meant. And we researched the scriptures and we couldn't really find anything about what that meant. But it was only a matter of 3 months until the district superintendent was calling me to come to Elamsport. A valley of horses, right? Literally. On our roads every single day. I thought, that's it. I understood. In the dreams, before this took place, I was traveling down the winding road onto the Golden Strip in Williamsport. And I didn't understand it at the time, but when it started to unfold, I understood it completely. And I understood that when I sat with the district superintendent, not knowing, he said, "We want you to go to Elamsport." I said, "I don't have to think about it. I know this is where God wants me to go." Literally into a valley of horses. So as we move here and begin our ministry here, and things start to unfold here in the valley. Some of you will remember just 2 to 3 years ago we started through the book of Joshua. And the book of Joshua was all about the struggles of the people coming into the promised land, and how when they relied on God, they were victorious in battle. And when they didn't rely on God, they were defeated. And I'll never forget the morning that I sat in my study as I was reading ahead in the book of Joshua. And I was reading the story, I believe it's in chapter 11, where the Israelite armies were coming up against the enemy for battle. And the scene that was described, horses and chariots gathered together in the valley for battle. I sat in my study and I cried. Because all I had experienced and still experience here in this appointment, here in the valley of horses, I came to understand the wonders, the message of the dream and the message that God was preparing me for. A valley of horses in the Bible is a battle scene. And it has been a spiritual battle beyond what I could ever conceive God would allow me to be in. Just like the woman at the other church had told me. A spiritual battle, because I know I'm right where God wants me to be. Because the enemy has launched and launches every single day battles, flaming arrows to try and get me to walk away from this. But I look back and I remember the signs, the wonders that Almighty God prepared me for this very time. And I'm reminded every Sunday when I stand here with the little picture of Jesus that I wrote on myself that says, "My King, my King." You see, folks, these things are all around us every day in our lives. God saturates our lives with His presence, revealing things to us about the future, about the present, about the past. He brings it all together and He says, "I want you personally as my children. I love you and I want you to share my grace with everyone else and my love. Tell everyone else about me." I can't tell you, folks, how many times in my life, and it's not by my own doing, that people come up to me after the sermon on Sunday and say, "How did you know I was dealing with that in my life?" Or people would say, "Who told you what was going on in my life? Who told you about this that I was dealing with?" And I look at them and I say, "Nobody. I didn't have a clue. But God did." You see? And through, hopefully, our Sunday mornings together and our times in the Bible together, the Lord is speaking to you in a way that the wonders of Almighty God makes an imprint on your mind, so that when you get to that place, you say, "Yes, this is what the Lord was talking about. And the Lord is with me. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my rock and redeemer." Have you ever sat down and read your devotion and you say, "Oh my gosh, that's speaking to me today. That's exactly what I'm dealing with." And I talk to somebody else and they say, "Oh, the devotion was so great today. It's speaking directly to me, exactly what I'm dealing with." And here's two people dealing with two different things. That's how God works in the wonders of our lives. So that when we get to those points, we say, oh, now it makes sense. This does not occur in other religions, folks. It does not occur in other religions. All the spirits speak, but what they do not point us to God. There are no miracles, there's only coincidences. There is no power, there's only positive thinking. There's no salvation, there's only good works. And those good works save no one. There's no escape from judgment, but in other religions, there is only a one-way road to hell. And I can say that not as politically correct, but as biblical truth. Because God showed us through signs, miracles, and wonders that this Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the one salvation. And how are we going to escape if we ignore it? God offers us something more than all these things. He offers us a great salvation in Jesus. Now I ask you this morning, why would anybody want anything else? Why would anybody want anything else? Peter says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Accredited by Almighty God through signs, miracles, and wonders. And Peter says, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But you see, that couldn't stop it. Because what did he do? In the greatest wonder of all, and the greatest miracle of all, God raised him from the dead. You see, it's evident. It's all over the place. It's so evident. It's just so evident, folks. The salvation offered by God was confirmed in Jesus by signs and miracles and wonders. Maybe you say, I don't see the signs. I haven't witnessed miracles. Maybe we should pay more careful attention to the wonders of God's presence in Jesus Christ. When we put it all together, it prints a picture of Christ standing at your door and knocking, hoping that you will let him in. But folks, he is crying out every single day, I'm right here, I'm right here, I'm right here. Here's the signs, here's the miracles, here's the wonders. I exist and I'm here and I love you and I have offered you salvation in my Son Jesus Christ. When we put it all together, it prints a picture of Christ. He makes himself known in everyday signs and miracles and wonders. And maybe our problem today in society is it's time we pay more careful attention to that so we don't drift away. Let's pray. Our dear Lord and God,